Hey Kelly, thank you for joining me on this call. I've been such a fan of yours since reading your book, Lost in Startup Landia, which was such a generous and open and honest account of your entrepreneurship journey. What was it like for you to write that? Tell me about the experience of that, because you shared some very painful stuff as well as a lot of really hard-earned wisdom in there.
Oh, thank you for that. It was not easy. It was a labor of love, but sometimes, as we know, with all great loves, there's heartbreak along the way, and finding new and deeper levels. And I started writing the book because it was an act of sense making for me. I was very sick at the time when the book I started writing it. In fact, I started dictating it into my phone was how I started. And because I was stuck in bed, I was in bed for about a year, dealing with a series of illnesses that I couldn't figure out, and that would manifest in migraines that just I couldn't read, I couldn't watch TV, there's nothing, and the fatigue was so intense, all I could do was just lay in this bed and stare out the window at an oak tree. So that was the context of writing the book.
Wow.
And I wasn't in the beginning for anybody other than me, just to understand, what my journey was like. What did it mean? Why was I an entrepreneur? Why was I doing this to myself? Because it was very clear that my illness was related to burnout and, and working too hard and, working past doctor's orders and not going to the doctor. And so it caught up with me in a rather spectacular way. And that was why I wrote the book. And I would love to say that it flowed and was easy, but it was like so difficult to remember a lot of the things that I ended up having to call and interview people. And if I found a particular entry was overly kind to myself, I would go back and I'm like, I don't think that's true. And so it was an act of just sort of, slowly peeling apart my persona and getting underneath it, because I didn't want this to be a book about me. It wasn't about my journey. I was creating it as part of the arc of the story, but it was really trying to get at the underlying universal human concerns of why do we do this to ourselves? Why does anybody want to be an entrepreneur?
Well, and that's, so that's a point I need to make clear. If you haven't read the book, it is not a memoir. It is actually a very wise collection of advice. I mean, it's a lot of solid advice, and then the memoir part is the illustration. It is the very personal story, right? So that's the balance. But you started it. That's fascinating. You started it to process. You started to create the narrative and to better understand. And at what point did it tip into this is a how-to book. This is a prescriptive. This is a guide.
I never really figured it out until I got the first draft back from my editor. And the first draft back was terrible. It was awful. And I mean, I've heard this from other authors. You get your first draft back and you can't believe you actually wrote these words. And in my case, it was really heightened because I was sick and I was dealing with some memory issues. And so it was very garbled and unclear. And what was I talking about? And what was I trying to do here? And I think this is like kind of the secret of all art, is that you kind of figure out what you're doing in post, and then you have to go back and stitch it together so it makes sense. And that's narratively what happened, was at the end of this first draft, I read it and I'm like, I think I'm trying to help people.
There you go.
I think I don't want anybody else to feel the pain I'm feeling right now. And that was the initial insight. And then I ended up actually rewriting the book from scratch. I didn't almost use any of the original draft. Because I was out of bed, I was healthier. We'd figured out that I was dealing with mold poisoning. We had toxic mold in our house. And so I'd gone on the Shoemaker protocol and was dealing with, and as I got as I got more well, my brain clarity came back in and I could start to stitch this together. So the story, you know, is fascinating, you know, like sort of full circle. The context in which it was written was really pretty harrowing, but the clarity I had once I knew what I was trying to do and was trying to be helpful. suddenly then I had a narrative thread that I could pull through this, and I knew who I needed to talk to. I knew what kind of advice was helpful and what wasn't, at least on my own journey. And tried very hard to write from that point of view.
That's great. It's I have to say, you know, it's something that just jumped out at me reading the book was that you decided to write the book when you lost your ability to read. Now, this is completely the opposite direction that most people would go, right? I mean, this just floored me. I nearly fell off my chair. Yeah, I can't read. What am I going to do? I'm going to write a book.
I'm going to write a book. Well, that pretty much sums me up, you know. The queen of the unexpected. It is fascinating. Like, again, like if I had been in a clearer state, that might not have been my choice. But that, I think, lends itself to really understanding just how garbled my thinking was at the time. Like, that seemed like a good idea. It's fascinating because I think that because I was wrestling with a breakdown of livelihood, which we're all dealing with right now, right? Like, this is the universal problem everybody has right now. But at the time, I was pretty alone. Like, everybody's off and busy and making stuff happen. I have my girlfriend, Julie, who's killing it with the Reel, and I'm watching that rocket ship take off. And my friend Eric is over at BitTorrent, and like, they're all doing the cool stuff, right? And I'm the kid that got left behind. I'm sitting here in bed going, I can't hack it. I'm too sick. And it's my fault. And not knowing that I happen to be in a bedroom full of toxic mold.
Yeah.
Making me worse. So ironic. But as I'm experiencing all of this, I, you know, there was a piece of me that was like, there's a story I need to tell, you know, there's a story behind success and there's a story that matters. And I think it was part of also trying to like figure out who am I now that I can't work?
Yeah.
And why am I doing this to myself in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And I think right this minute, we're all grappling with that question because most of our livelihoods have stopped and we can't do our routine of busyness.
Yes.
So who are we now?
Right. Yeah, that's true. We're in this moment. We're all in that bit of that crisis now and facing this sort of, you know, if we identify by our work, we may be facing an existential crisis. It's like, uh-oh, you know.
And that as an entrepreneur does, I write entrepreneur far faster than I write mother or wife. I mean, I don't think wife ever makes the list.
Yeah. although your husband's role, which you read about, you wrote about his, that he reread all the transcripts, edits, and the manuscript to you again and again because you couldn't read. I mean, what a
couldn't
partner.
Read. He, what I mean, partner. I have a fabulous partner, and that's why I have to laugh out loud. Like, if anything, that should be one of my primary roles I identify with, but I'm so bad at it.
Yeah.
I'm just not a domesticated female. And so I've always identified much more male. I present very female, but you know, our gender roles are pretty reversed in this family. My husband is 6'2" and you know, he looks like a big burly guy, but you know, he's really the wife. He's
bless him.
And he takes great care of me and enables me to do this, like you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very traditional caregiver role he played to manifest this.
Yeah.
And couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah. So in the book, it's very generous because you talk about the real messiness of entrepreneurship and the mental toll it takes. And also the fact, which I thought was fascinating, was that entrepreneurship tends to draw people who are dealing with other issues, maybe ADD or maybe, you know, that makes them less comfortably fitting into the traditional workforce, perhaps.
Yeah. Is that right? That years ago, I mean, we're talking like 25 years ago, there was a cover story on Entrepreneur Magazine about sociopathy and entrepreneurship. And my dad saw this and he's an entrepreneur and he's like, you know what? This rings true. And I said, really? Because like I was now it's like, he's like, yeah, most of the entrepreneurs I know, they're sociopaths. I know. Well, am I a sociopath? there's truth in this. It's like, you know, we're always looking for the elixir. Like, if only we could figure out how to, you know, take, you know, Elon Musk and Steve Jobs and, you know, name Mark Zuckerberg, you name the entrepreneur, and like distill the qualities so we could teach these to the upcoming generation. And the truth is, what makes, you know, most entrepreneurs pretty successful is disagreeableness.
Yeah.
The inability to get along with other human beings.
Right. Unemployableness, right? Yeah.
Unemployableness. But, you know, and some of it is mental illness. Like, we see things differently because our brain doesn't necessarily work the same way. And we throw labels around so fast and so hard. But you know, I'm not the first entrepreneur to talk about this. Obviously, I was referencing a study that came from UC Berkeley on mental health and wellness. 2015, they discovered, and this was self-reported, which I think is just fascinating, that, you know, three times the rate of average Americans, entrepreneurs self-report that they're dealing with ADHD, depression, anxiety, and bipolar, and addiction.
Wow.
And that's self-reported. I can tell you this is anecdotally in my experience of meeting probably over 1,000 entrepreneurs over the last 25 years, dead true. These are the conversations we have at the bar when nobody else is around. And it's like Jaws, that scene in Jaws where everybody starts showing their scars.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right. But we tend to glorify, you know, the individual. Entrepreneur as an individual, as a rugged individual. And what you're saying is that, first of all, that there are scars there. And second of all, they're not, you know, they are not getting by as individuals. They are actually, you know, needing help.
Absolutely. And it just reminded me of something. A girlfriend once said to me, you know, she was talking about a particular entrepreneur who will remain nameless, very famous Silicon Valley CEO. And she was working with him in part of the executive team. And she said, you know, he's best on a scale of 1 to 10,000.
Yeah.
Because when he's on stage, everybody's like, oh, but you know, you try to talk to him as a human on a 1-to-1. And it was just like, there was no connectivity. Yeah. And I think there is a piece of that too. It's like certain types of entrepreneurs, we're all different. You know, we have our niches in the places where we play best, but that grit and resilience that we all talk about so often is hard earned, and it comes from trauma.
Yeah.
And it cuts multiple ways. It's not just a nice, clean, wow, they're so resilient. It's like also like who also is getting hurt in the wake of their success.
Yeah.
And that's a big piece that isn't discussed widely.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's women.
Yeah. So what would you like to see come from, you know, your book being out in the world? How do you like to see it making
I need to follow your lead. I'm gonna put it as 99 cents and put it back out there. I get and just, you know, try to get it out because I think the timing is really good, and I want, you know, it to be available for entrepreneurs during this hard time. My number one thing is, and this is I've said all along when I finally got clarity, but like, why am I writing this book? And this sounds heavy, and it is heavy, but you know, we're dealing with a real issue in terms of suicide and depression right now. Mm. We're at a 50-year high, and we don't have numbers for entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
We don't know. But I know that the stressors that people are going through, particularly right now, as funding is drying up and revenue is drying up. And, you know, if you're a young entrepreneur, the last 12 years have been awesome. You know, they didn't have to go through the Great Recession. They didn't go through the dot-com crash. You know, it's like, there's things that I've experienced in leadership that make now much more palatable. It's not palatable, but it's, you know, it's not unforeseeable.
Yeah.
But when you've got nothing in the background in terms of one day it's awesome and the next day it's so not awesome, it's like you just get whiplash. And this is what makes entrepreneurs this particular time. And there's things to know. And that's what I was trying to get at with the book, which is all of our demons love to dance when these particular times arrive, right? Like this is right. the dark night of the soul. And if you take it personally and you think, oh my gosh, well, I was never meant to be an entrepreneur because look, I can't, you know, raise money. I can't keep my employees. I can't, you know, and look at this time. It's not about us, you know, yeah. It's not personal. It's a universal experience of all businesses go through cycles. And can you keep your emotions and head about you as best as you can and use it as a time for self-exploration so you get better versus doing what so many of us do, which is going down the shame spiral and yeah. thinking that we're just broken and horrible people.
Yeah.
That obviously we just don't have what it takes. And that's not helpful.
Right, right. I mean, it's as you write in the book, something about people who are successful entrepreneurs are just those with a higher tolerance for the pain and failure because you just yeah, keep getting back up.
That was the end of it. I'm like, so what makes an entrepreneur? And that was my big insight. An entrepreneur is someone who can withstand discomfort for unreasonably long periods of time.
Yes, yes.
That's right. If you can do that, you're golden.
You're golden.
For one thing. So
yeah. That's great. That's great. So, what kind of response have you gotten from the book? Have you?
I'm so grateful. It's been such a gift to me. I think, you know, man's search for meaning, our search for meaning, you know, it's all about taking difficult events and giving them purpose, right? Like that there was a reason for that suffering and that. And the feedback on the book has been so universally positive and individuals reaching out and connecting with me. You know, that I feel like I did a really good job in terms of, and I never say this to myself. The last thing I ever do is pat myself on the back. But in this particular case, like I honestly know I did as absolutely well as I could have on the book at this point in my journey. There'll be a different book to write and someday I'll read it and I'll cringe and I'll wish I said 10 other things. But for that point in time and who I was when I wrote that story and that book, I really do feel like that I gave it my all and that it came through and it connected with people and that it is being helpful. Yeah. And that's the best I could possibly hope for.
Right, right. You are serving through the book. You're serving through the platform.
Yeah, it's serving at scale, which is a weird thing.
Yes.
I'm very used to serving on one-on-one where I could be there and give, you know, my enthusiasm or light or joy to somebody who's like in a stuck, dark place and struggling and going, it's not about you. It's not, this is universal. It's nothing personal. And at the end of it, they're like, you're right. You know, it's like that moment, but being able to do that moment with hundreds, thousands of people opposed to just one-on-one feels really good.
Yeah, serving a scale. That's great. That's what it's about. That's so. What's next, you know, for you?
Right. It's such a strange time. Like in the epilogue of the book, I write about this where I'm, you know, been walking away from Startup Landia, and reevaluating. And I came to the conclusion that one of the things I was super ready to explore was to hold my identity as an artist, which up until 3 years ago, I couldn't imagine because it was too scary. It was too terrifying. I mean, you can hide behind a startup and have this is your creative enterprise, but at the end of the day, if it flops or fails, there's so many ways it can break. You don't have to say, oh, it was my bad artistry.
I see. Right.
But when it's art, as it was with the book, when it's like putting something out there, it's so deeply personal, when it doesn't resonate and doesn't land, it is hard. It is much harder to take those knocks. But I'm finding, similarly, as I've been writing music and I'm working on releasing an album in June, that I'm getting to a place where that's not being so true anymore. It's same as the book. If I know I did a really good job and I gave it everything I had, I'm proud of the work I'm putting out. It doesn't mean that in 10 years I'm not going to hear problems with it or issues or it's going to sound dated. It will. Right. But I'm proud of it right now because this is my best, and it takes a tremendous amount of courage to make art.
Yes.
And so my whole thing on, like, you know, acts of badassery as my little cheat for self-love and, you know, self-trust, it's working with making music. I'm pushing past my fear, doing it anyway. And every time I get to hear another one of the bounces on one of the mixes that I'm working on and it's gotten a little bit better, it's really helping my self-esteem. I'm not going into the dark night of the soul of why am I not a gifted artist right now? It's like, I got to earn that.
Yep. Yep. And it always gets better in post, as you said. I mean, whether it's writing or whether it's music.
Totally. Right? I'll find the narrative arc of my songs.
That's right.
And then it'll be art. Right now, it's a little in the in-between.
Well, that sense that what comes out, you know, whether it's a book or whether it's a music, the first pass is genius. I mean, most of us just don't. That's not
Never.
How it works.
It doesn't work that way.
It happens after.
I mean, even Dave Edgars in his, you know, book of hearts, you know, heartbreaking, staggering genius.
Yes.
It's his first novel. You know, I'm sure he had multiple drafts before he published.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, that's great. Oh. Thanks for sharing this. I think your story will be inspiring to people.